continuing our travel through these scriptures and try to get a understanding of where Joseph came from, what his heritage was, who his ancestors were, why he did the things that he did, why his character was formed the way it was. We don't know too much about that, but perhaps we can get an understanding by the heritage that he had as he was called upon to go to Egypt and prepare a way for Jacob's sons to come and to be formed into a nation by God. The reason for all of this work on the charts here is to try to get an understanding of the persons that are involved here, because these were real people. They were people that had blood flowing just like you and I. They had the same problems, the same dreams, the same ideas. They're not characters that we are to place on pedestals. Only the things that they did for God, of course, we look in that way. But these were real people, people that lived long, long time ago, but they were people of faith. And that's why they're pointed out in the scriptures to us. There's a lot of things in the scriptures about these people that we would say, oh, that's a shame, that's terrible that they did those things. And the Lord gives us their warts, their infirmities, everything about them to show to us that they were human, that they were sinners, but they were men of faith. And that's what God wants us to see in these people, people of faith. Yes, infirmities, yes, sinners. Yes, they did things that we would look at and say, my, that's terrible. But they were men of faith. And that's what we're to see in the ancestors of Joseph. So I hope that we get a good understanding of that and we become acquainted with these people enough so that it becomes personal to us, and that when we do study the life of Joseph, we know from whence he came. Of course, Abraham is the father of us all, and that means the father of those of faith. If you are of faith, then Abraham is your father, because he's the father of the faithful, father of the faithful. As we said last week, Abram was born in Ur of the Chaldees, which was about 600 miles from Haran, where they had settled for a number of years. And Terah, his father, took the family, including Abram and Sarah, to Haran. Now, according to the scriptures, Stephen said that Terah died in Haran, and that's what was the thing that prompted Abram to leave and to go down to Canaan. If that's so, and we believe it is, this idea that Terah died in Haran must be adjusted to say that Terah died in Haran, not at Abram's age 30, but at Abram's age 75, because that's when he left Haran. So that means that Abram was born to Terah at 130 years old. Now it says in Scripture that Terah had Abram, Nahor, and Haran when he was 70. But perhaps that meant that he had them after he was 70. So to go along with what Stephen said in the New Testament, this is the ifs here, 70 or 130. So that's why I have that note there. This is Genesis 11:26 at 70, and Acts 7:4 is where Stephen says that Terah died in Haran, which caused Abram to depart Haran. Now Sarah, we're told also that Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. It says in the scriptures in Genesis 20:12, Abram said that she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. So Abram used that to his advantage when he feared being killed, and he said that Sarah is my sister instead of my wife. So he was he didn't tell the whole truth. You know, he used it for his own advantage, but she was his half-sister, and of course and he was 10 years older than Sarah. So we think that they left Ur of the Chaldees somewhere in here. She was of marriageable age because they were married at the time, and they left Ur of the Chaldees to move to Haran, which was about 600 miles away. Now, the Lord appeared to Abram, and this is where we are introduced to the Abrahamic covenant, where God says, "Of thee I will make thee a great nation." Now, this Abrahamic covenant is carried through Isaac and Jacob. And this is a constancy through these generations, where I will make of thee a great nation. Joseph is instrumental in this by being the instrument to bring Jacob and his sons into Egypt so that that could happen. You know, it's interesting that you look through these lives, like Abraham lived 175 years, and Isaac lived 180 years, and Jacob lived 147 years, and yet that promise did not happen in their lifetime. That's a lesson to us, to be faithful. We may think that everything's going to happen to us in our lifetime, but that's not the case. And this great nation is yet to come, isn't it? When we think about this, this great nation is yet to come. For Abraham, it says in the New Testament, looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. We yet look for that, don't we? So the Lord appears to Abraham first in Shechem, then between Bethel and Ai. This is after he departed Haran. Of course, I think in Haran he was given the Abrahamic covenant in chapter 12. And then he was reconfirmed in Shechem between Bethel and Ai. He built altars there. He traveled to Egypt. This is where he said that Sarah was his sister. He returns. He separates from Lot, receives the Abrahamic covenant again. And there's some verses that reference that. When Abram was 85 years old, Sarah was impatient for the promise. He was told that he would have a son, so she gave Abram her maidservant, Hagar, and 1 year later, Ishmael was born to Hagar. He was born when Abram was 86 years old. When Abram was 99, obeying the rite of circumcision that he was commanded by the Lord, he and Ishmael and all of his Abram's party were circumcised. When he was 99, and when Abram was 100, Isaac was born to Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old. We're told that her womb was dead, and yet God gave to Sarah and Abraham a son, and they named that son Isaac. Now, fairly close to the weaning of Isaac, we're told that Hagar and Ishmael were cast out. Now, at this time, you'll notice the dates. If this was 3 years after Isaac was born, which would be a practical time for weaning, Ishmael was probably 16 or 17 years old. So he was a teenager, and they were both cast out because Sarah complained to Abraham about these two, and Abraham agreed, and he chose to cast them out. Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac. Perhaps he was 15. We don't know. The dates weren't given. I put a question mark there. But he was a young man during this time, and he was taken to be sacrificed, and the Lord intervened, and Isaac was not sacrificed, but instead an animal was sacrificed, which teaches us the doctrine of substitutionary sacrifice. Sarah died when Abraham was 137 years old, and she died in Hebron. Hebron is down south in Israel. We'll show you that on a map later. And 140 years old, when Abraham was 140 years old, Isaac married Rebekah. And then between that time, when Sarah died and when Abraham died, he married a woman named Keturah. And he had six children with Keturah. He was over 137 years old. And then Abraham died in Hebron when he was 175 years old, and Isaac and Ishmael, we're told, were present. We're told in Genesis 25:8. And at that time, we're told that he gave all that he had to Isaac. Isaac was the heir. Ishmael was not the heir. Isaac was the heir. Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael was not the son of promise, but the heir came through Sarah. So that is the life of Abraham, capsulized. Of course, we see how his life overlapped Ishmael's by 89 years. He died when Ishmael was 89. He died when Isaac was 75. And he died when Jacob was 15. So Jacob was still was a young man when Abraham died. And they lived in proximity to each other. So I'm sure that there was communication between these people. And Jacob, of course, Abraham was Jacob's grandfather. Of course, Sarah had died before Jacob was born. So Jacob did not know his grandmother Sarah, but I'm sure that since they lived in proximity to each other for 15 years, Jacob communicated with Abraham in his last 15 years. Now, as we said, Ishmael was born to Abraham when he was 86. He was cast out probably when he was 16 or 17 years old, when Isaac was weaned, and he died when he was 137 years old. There is some scripture that gives the genealogy of Ishmael, but there's not anything of particular that about his life and what he did when he lived in Mount Seir, which is to the south of Israel. But he was not the son of promise, and therefore you wouldn't see much of that kind of information. Now, Isaac was born to Sarah when she was 90, and Abraham was 100. And as I said, Sarah died when Abraham was 137. So Isaac had a mother alive until he was 37 years old. And Isaac, I said, was offered probably between these ages, somewhere like that. And Isaac did not marry Rebekah until he was 40 years old, we're told. Now, you remember that's a wonderful story about Abraham sending his servant to Haran and to get Isaac a wife. And you can see the work, the hand of the Lord in that. And that's a wonderful story about Isaac marrying Rebekah. Now, you see here that Rebekah was barren for 20 years. We're told that in Genesis 25:21 that Rebekah was barren for 20 years. The Lord spoke to Rebekah in Genesis 25:23, and Esau and Jacob were born. Now, they were twins. The firstborn was Esau. And Jacob, when he was born, had his hand on Esau's ankle, and he was called the supplanter. And that played itself out in the life of Jacob as he stole the birthright from Esau. But at this time, of course, Isaac was 60 years old. After 20 years of marriage, Rebekah bears these twins to Isaac at 60 years old. You can see then Jacob's lifeline starts here. In Genesis 26:2, the Abrahamic covenant is confirmed to Isaac. In Genesis 26:6, we're told that he dwelt in Gehar, which is to the northeast of Hebron. And he was a well digger. Isaac digged wells. for a living, and of course he also had flocks, but he was a well digger. We're told that Esau married Judith, who was not in the line, a heathen girl, and he married her when Isaac was 100, and the Bible says that they weren't happy. Isaac and Rebekah were not happy about this. It was not a good marriage in their minds. And he also married Bathshemath, another woman of the area, at 100. At age 137, let's see, this had to do with, and the reason this age is here is that we believe that Jacob stole the blessing, received the blessing by deceit from Isaac when he was around 77 years old. He was not a young man. Back up here, we see that Esau sold the blessing to Jacob. Remember, Esau was hungry. He came in from hunting. He was famished. He says, I'm about to die. Jacob was preparing soup and bread, and Esau despised the birthright. Birthright, of course, would have given Esau double the inheritance and other rights. But he despised the birthright, and he sold the birthright to Jacob. We don't know exactly how old they were at the time. There's no way to trace that. But we do have a way of tracing the age of Jacob, stealing the blessing by deceit from Isaac. And that was just before he went to Haran. He fled his own community. He fled from Esau after that, and we're told that he was in Haran for 20 years, and then we trace it back from the numbers, the ages of Joseph, the time, that the age of Jacob, that when he was in Egypt. We go back that far, and we see that this occurred somewhere around that age. We don't know how long it took him to get to Haran, so there's some time confusion in there. But he was not a teenager when that occurred. That was around that time there, and at that time Isaac was 137 years old. We are told that Isaac was blind. He couldn't see Jacob as he was outfitted in a hairy outfit to resemble Esau, and Isaac felt his arms to see who it was, and he concluded that it was Esau because of the hair. Esau was a hairy man, we're told in the scriptures. And so this seems to fit the story in this manner, that Isaac was old and infirm and couldn't see well, if at all. Isaac lived in that condition for, I suppose he did, unless it was changed, but he lived in that condition for 43 years. Isaac died in the city of Arba, which is Hebron. And we said that that Abraham died in the city of Hebron also. And we also see that Jacob, when Joseph goes into slavery, lived in the Vale of Hebron. It refers to the Vale of Hebron. So Hebron is the community in which these people mainly lived, although they were shepherds and they traveled around the area. So it does say in Scripture in Genesis 35:29 that Jacob and Esau buried Isaac. We're not told how old Esau was when he died, but he was at least 120 years old because he participated in the burial of his father Isaac when Isaac was 180 years old. It's interesting to see that Jacob and Leah and Rachel were first cousins. This was Abraham's brother, Nahor. He married a woman named Milcah, who had a child named Bethuel. That was the father of Rebekah and Laban, who were brother and sister. And of course, Jacob worked for Laban. And we'll get into that in a minute, but the two wives that Jacob married were Laban's daughters, and of course Rebekah was Laban's sister, so therefore he married his first cousins. And by the way, Isaac also used the ploy that he called Rebecca his sister one time also, and apparently he did that because, that he was not related. Well, yes, he was. Isaac was Abraham's son, so he was related to Rebecca through Nahor. So you can always find a way to use something for your benefit, and Isaac used the fact that Rebecca was related to him, and he used that to do the same thing that Abraham did to get out of a jam. And he said, she's my sister. It's the same. I could say that you ladies are my sister also, because you're my sister in Christ. And if I use that to get out of a jam, I'd be telling the truth, but I would also be using that for my own benefit. It just is amazing that Abraham was, he was willing to sacrifice Sarah for his own skin. And I mean, that's the bottom line. He thought that if I admit that she's my wife, they'll kill me to take her. But if I say she's my sister, they'll take her without killing me. So you can kind of get a feel for the mind of Abraham, and also the same mind was in Isaac. There's nothing holy in these people without God, is the message. And they had a heart of deceit, and that was evidenced in Jacob's relationship with his father and his relationship with Esau. And it comes out in his sons. And if you want to say something that connects all these folks, it's deceit. But overall, it's faith. That's what God is pleased with. You know, all of us have deceit, but not all of us have faith. And that's what God is pleased with. Now, these 20 years, we're going to go into in detail down here. But between the ages of 77 and 97, we're told that Jacob spent in Haran working for, he worked for Rachel. Basically, he worked for Rachel for 14 years, but Laban threw in Leah. In Laban's mind, it was a bonus, but in Jacob's mind, it wasn't.
A little deceit.
A little deceit. There's some more deceit in this. It's coming out again. You can see where it came from. It probably came from Terah. Because not only Abram had it, but Nahor's, his line had the same thing. And it comes out in many areas. Terah was a worshiper of idols. And Abraham was separated from that to go into the promised land to begin the process of taking out a people for God's name. So the Abrahamic covenant was confirmed to Jacob. He fled to Haran. Joseph was born in Haran, and Jacob became Israel at Peniel. For as a prince hast thou power with God. Now this 20 years is itemized right down here. It was a very, very productive 20 years as far as the generations were concerned. I thought about this in regard to our last 7 years in our own church here. And there's been about 12 or 13 births in our church in the last 7 years, and we look at that and wow, we say, all these little children. Well, that's what took place in Haran. Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years for Rachel. That was the deal. I'll work for you for 7 years. Well, 7 years were up, and he ended up with Leah, and that wasn't who he was expecting. So Laban said, well, there's no way I can give you my second daughter. I've got to marry my first daughter first. I mean, that was the way. I mean, what do you expect, Jacob? Just because I said Rachel didn't mean I meant Rachel. See? Can't you figure it out? I've got to deal with Leah. So, okay. I'll work another 7 years if you give me Rachel. And he gave him Rachel at the same time that he married Leah. So he had two wives. And during the next 7 years was very, very productive as far as children was concerned. Leah bears Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. There weren't many months between these children either, because there weren't many years to do all this. There was only 7 years to do all this. And then Bilhah bears Dan and Naphtali for Rachel. Rachel was getting disturbed seeing all these children coming from Leah. So she enters into the picture and she gives Bilhah, her maid, a servant, to Jacob to bear children. And she bears two children named Dan and Naphtali. And then Leah was getting into the race. So she says, Zilpah, you bear children for me. And she bears Gad and Asher for Leah. So now we have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 children, 8 little ones. And then Leah, she was barren for a little while, but then she bore Issachar and Zebulun and Dinah. This was the only girl mentioned in the family. Although there could have been more, but Dinah was mentioned. There was a situation with Dinah further on where she is in the picture. And then lastly, Rachel bore Joseph, and we figure that that was done pretty much in the 7th year. Doesn't say that in the scriptures, but just the timing here looks like Joseph was born in the 7th year. So that kind of gives us a time mark upon which to start Joseph's life. And then we can go backwards and find out how old Jacob was when he received the blessing by deceit. Now, when Jacob was 91 years old, he started this in 77. When he was 77, he fulfilled 14 years working for Laban. He fulfilled Rachel's dowry after 14 years, and he wanted to leave. But Laban had all these grandchildren running around. Didn't want to see all these grandchildren running around, I suppose. But he also saw his right-hand man that was increasing his herds, because ever since Jacob was there, he was blessed, and his herds grew. So at this point, the only thing that Jacob had was his wives and his children. He didn't have any herds, so he agreed to work for Laban for and he made a deal. And he says, I'll take a certain kind of sheep and cattle. He knew what he was doing and made a deal, took that particular kind of sheep and cattle off. They were blessed in abundance by the Lord, and he had a big herd by the time he left 6 years later. So that's the 20 years that he spent in Haran, working for his father-in-law, Laban. So he came with nothing. He leaves with 12 children, 2 wives, 2 concubines, lots of sheep, lots of cattle. So it was a very, very productive 20 years. Very productive 20 years, but it was 20 years. And when he was 97, the Lord instructed Jacob to return to the land of his fathers. This was, I don't know what act this was in the play, but this was one of the acts in the play, and the Lord says, now it's time for you to take this. See how the Lord is making a people for his name, and that's what he was doing in Haran. This was the beginning. Of course, Abraham was the beginning, but now we're starting to see an increase in the numbers of a people for his name. Now, over here, we told in the Joseph story that Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery. So we asked the question, how old were his brothers and his sister? And you can kind of backtrack. If Joseph was born in the seventh year of this 7 year period, then his oldest brother probably was no more than 7 years older than he was. Probably 6 years, more likely, if you talk about the 9 month of pregnancy and so on. So I just made up a little chart over here. When Joseph was 17, Dinah was probably 17. Joseph was born of Rachel, but Dinah was born of Leah, so they could have been born about the same time. Zebulun was 18, Issachar was 19, Asher was 19, Gad was 20, Naphtali was 19, Dan was 20, Judah was 20, Levi was 21, Simeon was 22, and Reuben was 23. So this was a young group, young people. None of them were very old. So that you can, that kind of gives you a picture of these folks, not very mature, still in their youth, and you can see why they did some of the things that they did at that age. So that's the 20 years that Jacob spent in Haran. He came back to the land of Israel. He wrestled with God, we're told, and he left with a limp and a blessing. You know, it's not bad to have a limp if you get a blessing out of it. And Jacob got a limp from that wrestling. He was in this age group. Well, he left at 97. It was somewhere around here. We're told that Jacob met the Pharaoh 2 years into the famine. And if you backtrack from where his age was, 2 years into the famine, how long Joseph was in Egypt and so on, he was about 100, well, it says he was 130 years old. That's another key to finding out how old Jacob was when he left for Haran, that 130. But he lived in Egypt 17 years, and he died in Egypt when he was 147. And then he was carried out of Egypt back and buried in the cave in the field of Machpelah, which is the same place that Abraham purchased. So it was basically the family plot that he was taken back into. Now over here we have a summary of Joseph. He was sold into slavery when he was 17 years old. We're told that. He stood before the Pharaoh when he was 30. Now that's when he was taken out of prison so that he could interpret the dreams for Pharaoh. So we see that he was in Egypt in slavery for 13 years. How long he was in prison, we don't know. He was in prison at least 2 years because that was the time between the interpretation of the dreams for the baker and the butler until the interpretation of the dreams to the Pharaoh. So 2 years, probably plus several years before that. Then he worked in the house of Potiphar. So he was in Egypt 13 years prior to him standing before the Pharaoh. And he was married to an Egyptian woman who bore him Manasseh and Ephraim. And they were born before the famine. So they were born during the 7 years of plenty. That can kind of give you a date line also for their lives. And then Jacob met the Pharaoh 2 years into the famine, so that was 9 years after Joseph stood before the Pharaoh. So at that time, Joseph was 39 years old when Jacob met the Pharaoh. So this was now 22 years since Joseph left home, sold into slavery by his brothers. 22 years between the time that Jacob saw Joseph as a young boy, as a young man, and the time he saw him when he came to Egypt. And then when Joseph was 44 years old, the famine ended with 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, added on to 30, and that would be 44. So Joseph died in Egypt when he was 110 years old, and he told his brethren that God will bring them out of Egypt in Genesis 50:24. So this is the seed. This is the seed of God that is now into Egypt, And God will, of these folks, make for himself the beginnings of a great nation. But that gives you a feel for that. We have one more chart that we're going to go on that trip from Haran down to Hebron. And we'll show you where he went and what he did, where he went and down to Hebron, because I want you to get a feel for where Joseph was when he was sold into slavery and where his brothers were and so on. It's interesting that they had that situation in Shechem where they killed all the males of Shechem. Simeon and Levi killed all the males of Shechem, and yet their brothers were in Shechem later on tending the sheep, and that's where Joseph had to go to Shechem and then to Dothan. So it's interesting to conjecture if they had such a bad reputation in Shechem.
They killed them all.
I know they killed them all, but I'm sure there were some relatives.
They
must have, that was an interesting place that they were with such a bad reputation. Must have. I'm thinking that it was quite a few years. Time erases memories, but
I know nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us in giving us this information this morning. Help us to understand the background of Joseph as he is taken into Egypt by thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.